What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Rest of Season Rankings Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Seifter, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Bart Wheeler. And Bart, it's another Tuesday night here, and we're doing things a little differently tonight. We are going to go team by team for the American League, talking about the players that are interesting to us so far as we approach the one-month threshold of the season. But before we do that, we'll catch up on some NL news and notes, and then next week's show, we will give the NL its full treatment. That sound good?
Sure, man. We'll flip the script next weekend. We'll start next week. We'll start with AL notes, and I kind of like this format. It gives us just like a free-flowing talk about the teams a little bit, you know, touch on a couple guys here and there. So we'll sprinkle in the news and notes in the AL while we talk about different teams, and we'll start with my Orioles when we get there. But yeah, let's start with the NL news and notes.
Sounds good. And I feel like your initial thought on this was it will require less preparation ahead of time.
Yeah.
But actually, I think we might have put even more in the notes than we usually do. So, you know, I think the time it saved us was having to come up with different categories of players.
Right.
But we still did our prep. So rest assured, dear listener, that that we did our research for this show, as we always do. All right, let's jump into those NL news and notes real quick. And I think the biggest one has to be, of course, that Francisco Alvarez, the catcher for the Mets, is out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn UCL in his thumb. Catcher is always kind of a rough go. And, you know, Alvarez was an exciting option there, a guy that had been doing pretty well and actually had upside for rest of season. So if you did have him, you know, I think it's, I mean, he actually hadn't been that good looking at his stats, but I mean, I think that he was like a set it and forget it kind of a guy, you know, at the position. So now you're kind of left scrambling a little bit. Maybe you hopped onto the Travis d'Arnaud bandwagon because he's been extremely hot while Sean Murphy's been out. You know, there were some guys we talked about a little, you know, deeper in our rankings coming into the season, guys like Logan Ohapi and Luis Campusano, who are MJ Melendez, who are all, I think, fine options. But do you feel like a catcher, you're just, you know, if you don't have one of those top five or six guys, are you pretty much just rolling with the hot hand at that position in a single catcher league?
Yeah, you can just kind of add drop. Like you mentioned d'Arnaud this week, it could be someone else next week. As far as Alvarez, if you look at rosrankings.com, he's almost outside of our top 20 catchers. And, you know, realistically, in even a 12-team league, you can drop him, single catcher. Now, he's on the IL, so you can stash him if you need to. But we were just talking about, like, our dynasty league, how I have eight guys on the IL. So, like, I'm really struggling there. If I had Francisco Alvarez, I'd just drop him. So don't worry about it. I mean, he's, like, 70% rostered, but that'll go down here pretty quickly. Yeah, just add the next guy up and just try to find that next young guy. I mean, I would rather than d'Arnaud, like when Murphy comes back, I'd try to get one of these other younger guys you're talking about, like a Melendez or even Moreno or Ruiz when he comes back, or one of those guys.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, d'Arnaud is obviously not going to be a long-term option, but he's just been so hot, and he plays in a great lineup. So it's kind of like, as long as he's producing, I wouldn't mind. Well, you're just, because there's always going to be a number of interesting options, like when you get to that catcher 10 to 15 range. Like, so I might not feel a lot of pressure to roster one of those guys in a single catcher league. I mean, in a two catcher league, this is all totally different. I mean, there,
sure,
you're probably going to try to hold on to Francisco Alvarez if you possibly can, if you have the IL spots. But yeah, in those single catcher leagues, I mean, to me, he wasn't ranked that much higher than like Kieber Ruiz anyway, coming in the season. And, you know, he was dropped in our league and nobody went and rushed to pick him up. So I think, yeah, I think you're right there. In those single catcher leagues, you can move on pretty quick.
Yep. All right. Next up, we got Merrill Kelly dealing with a shoulder. He's headed to the IL. I haven't seen like a timetable. Hopefully it'll just be 15 days or so and we'll get Merrill Kelly back. He was off to a solid start. I had him pretty low, and kind of moved him up my rankings a little bit. I like my D-backs, and he's a solid veteran, but yeah, kind of a bummer if you've been plugging Merrill Kelly into your lineup. He's the type of guy I definitely want to stash on the IL. I wouldn't just go and drop Merrill Kelly, would you?
I would try not to. Yeah, I mean, he was actually off to a very nice start. I mean, the strikeout rate wasn't super, but that's never really going to be super with him, although last year was pretty good. But generally speaking, he's not quite a batter per inning strikeout guy, but really nice ratios and good win potential there with the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, I would try to hold on to him if you possibly can.
Yep. All right. Next up, Albert Alzolay. Out for now, you have in parentheses, as Cubs closer. So what are you thinking about this bullpen here in Chicago? If we've got Alzolay out, who's picking up a save here and there? Hector Neris, maybe?
I would think he's probably the leading contender, but Mark Leiter Jr. has also been pitching very well. So, you know, I don't know. This is one of those situations that feels hard to predict to me. I mean, Neris is the one who does have more pass closer experience. So that might give him the edge there. And, you know, this could go a lot of different ways. I mean, Albert Alzolay was not exactly like a locked in, you know, proven closer to begin with. So this does feel kind of similar to the Rangers situation where somebody could take this job and just hold it rest of season if they do well. And I guess Neris is a pretty comparable pitcher to a Kirby Yates. So, but you know, Texas, it was harder to figure because David Robertson also was a more veteran pitcher. Mark Leiter, I mean, he's not a young pitcher or anything, but just hasn't had that closer track record the same way those other guys have. So, yeah, he's probably on the longer shot, but I wouldn't mind rostering either of these guys while we wait to see, because they're the kind of pitchers that could give you decent ratios and some saves.
Yeah, absolutely. Leiter especially. We both, like, you had moved him up even more, and I just did before we posted our updated rankings up there on the site. Next is Spencer Turnbull, heading to the bullpen, but not yet. He is going to get a start in Cincinnati, according to the probable pitchers that I'm looking at. He's supposed to start on Wednesday. So, but yeah, Taijuan Walker rehabbing, should come back, get back in the rotation. But if Spencer Turnbull still, you know, is looking good, I mean, he's got a 1.23 ERA, 0.77 whip, a couple of wins, a K per nine. I don't know. Like, I almost feel like I wouldn't necessarily drop him, but I guess if he's out of the rotation, he becomes like a Matt Strom type who they just kind of use in the middle or, you know, seventh inning or stuff. So I guess you probably could drop him, because I don't know that you want to necessarily use him at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely droppable. It's a nice story what he's done so far, but I think there were definitely questions about whether he could maintain that anyway. So now it's just, there's always Spencer Turnbull type of pitchers available on the waiver wire, and what you want to do is pick up the ones that are currently pitching well and have good matchups. You don't want to stick with one that's a stash. They're not good. They're not high enough upside players to stash. So, you know, I don't think he's as good as a Matt Strom. Like, Matt Strom is a higher strikeout rate guy than Spencer Turnbull. So I think Turnbull really needs to be starting to have any fantasy value.
Okay. If we go to the Brewers, DL Hall with a knee sprain, Wade Miley on the IL with elbow soreness. Man, if you look at who they have beyond Freddie Peralta, it's pretty rough. Like, I like the Brewers to potentially have like the fewest wins in all of baseball. I sprinkled on a couple bucks on that before the season started. Now they're playing just fine. But man, you look at that rotation. I don't think I want any of these people beyond Freddie Peralta. Like, is there someone you know of who might be coming up to fill in this spot? Or are you interested in any of these guys? Tobias Myers?
I mean, Joe Ross has actually been pitching all right lately, but no, I mean, yeah, the Brewers have actually been great offensively. They've been one of the best offensive teams in the league so far. But yeah, beyond Freddie Peralta, you're not dealing with their pitchers. I mean, Wade Miley was like a maybe high floor, low ceiling guy before he got hurt. But he, you know, even he was like a fifth or sixth fantasy starter at best. So yeah, there's not a lot to like there.
Yep. All right, AJ Puck hitting the IL. Out indefinitely due to a shoulder issue. I mean, he's only 9% rostered now. You can drop him. Victor Scott for the Cardinals, demoted. So we were talking about him a couple weeks ago as someone who could potentially lead the league in steals. I mean, a long shot, but like someone who had that kind of speed. Well, you can't, you know, like you mentioned in the last week episode about Jonathan Class A, it's like you can't steal first. And yeah, he wasn't hitting well. Newt Barr came up, and yeah, Victor Scott hit the road.
Yeah, I mean, the writing was kind of on the wall with both of these guys for a while, that they weren't going to be the impactful fantasy players that people were hoping for 3 or 4 weeks ago. And that just shows you how fast things can change in April. Yeah, both of these, Puck and Victor Scott, both were subject to quite a bit of fantasy hype heading into the season. And as of now, I mean, maybe Puck comes back and ends up being a reliever, and you know, he could even close for them at some point down the line, who knows. And maybe Scott gets another chance later in the season and ends up stealing 20 bases in a month. I mean, these are things that could happen, but like as of right now, it's looking like that neither of them are going to be a fantasy factor this season after quite a bit of hype.
All right, last one. Matt Mervis got the call up. He's batting, I think, seventh tonight. This game's going on while we're recording. The balls are flying out of Wrigley tonight. Wind's blowing out. I think he's 0 for 2 right now while we're recording, but Bellinger hit a home run. Talkman hit a home run. Myers, I think, hit a home run for the Astros. So, you know, Mervis, someone to keep an eye on. He's, if he starts, you know, playing every day, I mean, he's hit some home runs in the minors. You know, I'm looking at AAA last year in 100 games. He hit 22 home runs. So he's got some pop. He also has some strikeout. So I don't know. This is for deeper leagues, right?
For now, yeah. For now, it's definitely for deeper leagues. But, you know, I love post-type sleepers. So, like, I could definitely see a scenario. I mean, he's got 30 home run power. And you say a lot of strikeouts. I mean, he had a lot of strikeouts with the Cubs last season. But that was only in, you know, 100 plate appearances. And prior to that, his minor league track record, I mean, his strikeout rate was not too bad. So, and he hit for some high averages in the minors as well. So, he's a guy I could absolutely see becoming a mixed league factor in 10 and 12 team leagues, but not a guy you have to rush out to add right away.
Right. All right. I think that's all the NL news and notes. Like you said, we'll hit all of the NL teams next week, but we're going to get into the American League team by team. And we decided to kind of start with the Orioles. I guess we're kind of going in alphabetical order here with Baltimore first. So
it wasn't Bart bias. No, it was actually my suggestion. No. But yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, honestly, the Orioles are a good team to start with because they're just probably the most interesting team for fantasy purposes so far this season, because they've got so many exciting young players, and it's kind of just a constant, you know, Ferris wheel of excitement with all these different guys. And, you know, like we were just talking about with AJ Puck and Victor Scott, sometimes that excitement doesn't translate directly into fantasy points or fantasy production, but with some of these guys, it absolutely is. And I mean, I think you have to start with Gunnar Henderson. Like for me, he is up into my top 20 overall players now at this at this point. And I think that's all about the fact that he's stealing more bases, because everything else in his game was already there last season. You know, he showed he could hit for power. He's got a great approach at the plate, great run production situation there in Baltimore, hitting at the top of the order too. So everything was there, but, you know, he's already got, what is it, 4 steals already so far this season? So that's intriguing to me because last year he only had 10 for the whole year. So he's on pace to maybe double that this season.
Yeah, I'm just looking at like a comparison with someone like Ellie De La Cruz, who you have Gunnar slightly ahead. I have Ellie one spot ahead. So like we're really splitting hairs here right now with both of these guys off to hot starts. Both are third and short eligible. Both play for good teams. You know, Ellie maybe a little bit better. Well, definitely a little bit better home ballpark and steal potential. But like you said, if Gunnar's stealing, then that's really narrowing the gap. But Ellie's the type of guy who could lead the league in steals, but probably have way more strikeout and lower average and all that. So depending on like what kind of player you're looking for, I mean, both of these guys are awesome, but I do have Ellie still one spot ahead, and it looks like he went yard tonight. So both of these guys are on fire.
He did. I saw it live. So yeah, I can confirm that he did go yard. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz is so, you know, Gunnar Henderson's exciting. Like he's an exciting young player that's pretty much delivered on the hype from day one, but he's not the kind of exciting that Ellie De La Cruz is. Ellie De La Cruz is like blow your mind exciting.
Yeah.
So like, I understand that, but he's also, I mean, Ellie De La Cruz could hit 230 or something. Like that could absolutely happen. And, you know, Gunnar Henderson, I think his 289 he's hitting right now is something he can actually maintain. So That's why I give him the slight edge. But yeah, I mean, it's picking hairs with guys that give you the kind of production those two do.
Well, Heston Kjerstad is about to, you know, play his first major league game against the Angels. Another former first round draft pick from 2020. Another left-handed bat for Baltimore coming up, and I think he's going to be batting eighth tonight. So we won't know. Maybe as we're recording, we'll see how he does in his first at bat or something. And I hope he does better than Jackson Holliday's looked, you know, so far. But you know, I moved Heston Kjerstad up kind of like pretty aggressively, like, but I moved him up to where Ryan O'Hearn is because I'm just kind of gonna wait and see how this all shakes out with the playing time, you know, because like I said, he is left-handed. You know, a guy like Jordan Westberg's been super hot and is a right-handed bat. Like, I have zero concerns with him right now. But with Colton Cowser, all these lefties, I just don't know. Cedric Mullins has been hitting the ball really well. Like, how are they going to keep all these left-handed bats in the lineup? I mean, Austin Hayes is hurt, so that helps. But I don't know, man. Unless Ryan O'Hearn, like, gets hurt or traded, I'm a little worried that Kjerstad might not just stick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be my concern as well. And, I mean, their offense is so good right now, other than Jackson Holliday, who we can talk about him again in a minute, but everyone else in the lineup is just smoking hot and like playing great. I mean, they're just scoring so many runs. Like, why would they really need to mess with success? You know, I'm concerned that, yeah, Kjerstad is not going to get regular at bats. So I'm a little more cautious in my ranking of him than you are. I'm trying to figure out what his upside looks like exactly, because he's not a base dealer at all.
Right.
And, you know, I guess the question is, like, what kind of a batting average guy do you think he can be? Because, like, you know, he's had some decent batting averages in the minors, like, but I'm not sure he's going to be a 300 hitter at the major league level, you know? So, like, if he's not a 300 hitter, then it's, can he get to 30 home runs? Like, maybe he can be right. Like Anthony Santander if he did that, but that's a pretty big ask for a rookie. So I would lean towards O'Hearn, who actually leads all of baseball in expected slugging percentage according to StatCast this season, which is a pretty incredible fact. And he's been good, you know, like Ryan O'Hearn has been really good. Great plum lineup spot there, and I feel like he's like, I don't know, he's like not exciting, and maybe his stats should be even better than they are based on those underlying numbers, but like I just think he's like kind of an underappreciated player in fantasy.
He is, and O'Hearn is definitely a platoon guy. You know, he can play first. Kjerstad could play some first too, so maybe he does take some of O'Hearn's playing time if he continues to struggle. Like, he is like 0 for his last 10 or so, but you're right, like, he has been, I mean, O'Hearn had a great season last year. But you're right about Kjerstad. Like, what is his upside? I mean, can he bat 300? One day, but not this year. Like, I would not expect that, right? I would expect him to maybe bat, like, 260 or 70 if he plays well. But 30 home runs? I don't think so. Like, I don't expect any of that. I know he hit 10 home runs in, like, 20 games in the minors. But, you know, I just don't see him doing that at Camden Yards.
Yeah. And here's some more crazy stats about Ryan O'Hearn while I'm looking at his Fangraphs page. His strikeout rate is 9.8% so far.
Wow.
His expected batting average, according to StatCast, 381. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, he is hitting the ball really hard. He's not striking out at all. I mean, his surface numbers aren't that great. It's 268, four homers, only six RBIs so far. But, like, I don't know. He seems like a guy that could explode if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah, before we move on, any interest in Albert Suarez? You know, he has actually had a couple good outings. Bradish is still rehabbing. John Means is rehabbing, so he can come up soon. I feel like he could just be a little bit of a placeholder, but I don't know, man. Like, Tyler Wells is hurt. What if Bradish doesn't make it back? Like, Suarez could stick.
Yeah, I mean, another one of these guys that pitched in Asia, so, like, it's a little hard to figure out, you know, how that's going to translate, like whether he was able to reimagine himself pitching over in the KBO. I mean, even there, he was not a big strikeout guy at all. So, like, I think the upside is extremely limited with him. But he is in a great situation. I mean, the Orioles are one of the best teams you could possibly pitch for with that pitcher-friendly ballpark and a great offense supporting you. So I think he's definitely a streamer. I just don't really see him as a guy that, like, Like, if he had two bad matchups in a row, I wouldn't have a problem cutting him, you know. But if he's, like, got two good matchups in a row, I'd ride it right now.
Yep, I agree. Definitely a streamer. Okay, let's move on to your Red Sox. Again, no bias here. That we're just going in alphabetical order, Baltimore to Boston. And the big bummer here is Tristan Casas, who's got a rib injury, fractured rib. And I think it sounds like he's going to miss a couple months. We moved him, I think, outside of our top 200. We moved him pretty far down. Down here with guys like Royce Lewis, who may be out for another month or more. And yeah, it's just a huge bummer. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Casas? Like, I think if you're in a 10-team league and you're struggling with IL spots, you could potentially even drop someone like him. I hate to say that because I really like Casas, but certainly trying to hold him where you can.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be out multiple months, like even in a 12-team league, I think if you don't have IL spots or if you only have one or two, you might have to consider it. You know, I mean, like, Casas is a player that there was a lot of excitement about him coming into the season in terms of what he could be. But, like, I don't know. He kind of, like, I still wasn't exactly sure yet what he was going to be this season if he stayed healthy. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like he was – it's kind of like what we were talking about when, like, Josh Young got hurt. You know, it's like, do you hold on to a player like that or not? You know, I mean, Casas was hitting – he did already have six home runs, which was nice, but he was striking out 28.9% of the time. Obviously, no steals coming from him. So, I think you're probably going to get 3 months – more this season of a top 15 first baseman, possibly a top 10 first baseman. So, you know, season to taste in your own league, whether that's worth stashing or not.
I think if they move him to the 60-day IL, I would definitely cut him if I had to. Like, I cut Matt McClain earlier this year. I hated totally different injury and stuff, but it's like sometimes you just got to move on if you really can't afford to, you know, stash all those guys.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as the Red Sox go generally, I mean, it's like, it's just been a very interesting season so far. I mean, they're not playing bad baseball, but it's really been, you know, you're used to the Red Sox having great offense and not so hot pitching in recent years. And this year that's kind of flipped on its head where the offense has really been struggling and it's been just plagued by injuries. I mean, Rafael Devers has missed some time. Tyler O'Neill is just back today from the concussion IL. And you know, Casas, I mean, those are like their best hitters all missing time. You know, Jaron Duran's been sort of the one bright spot with eight steals already this season, but really it's what we talked about last week with the pitching staff and their, under Andrew Bailey, just, you know, moving away from the four seam fastball and getting really good results from that. And one example is Tanner Houck. He's throwing his four seam 7% less than he did last year and 25% less than he did earlier in his career. And he replaced it with a splitter and he's increased his slider usage as well. And it's allowed him to really cut his walk rate dramatically. I mean, he's, you know, even though he's throwing fewer four seams, you'd think he might walk more batters, but he's barely walking anyone this year and just had another great start tonight, against the Guardians. So, Tanner Houck is a guy that's, shooting up my rankings.
Yeah. He only had 5 hits and 6 innings, as you said, against the Guardians. He did have 3 walks, so he has been doing really well with the walks. Struggled a little bit tonight, but still a very good start. Yeah, all these guys. Bayo, I mean, I remember when Giolito went out, it was like, we were doing the SP previews, and it was just like, I still really like this, you know, rotation. And Pivetta's been out. Hopefully he comes back. Like, I really liked him. Still do. So, you know, you could buy low on Pivetta maybe while he's injured. Yeah, maybe these Red Sox starters can kind of carry them. I mean, they have been so far.
Yeah, I mean, Whitlock's hurt too now, so it's, yeah. I mean, yep. The Red Sox have just really been snake bitten so far this season, but they're treading water.
All right, so White Sox go to the south side of Chicago. Garrett Crochet seems to be kind of the only player you may want to even roster on the White Sox. I mean, I suppose you could have a guy like Kopech if you need saves. But my question over here was, like, is Garrett Crochet's hot start already over? And I was digging into the, you know, his stats. His expected ERA is only 2.19 compared to his 5.61 ERA. You know, that start in Philly, the 3 home runs, a couple of them were Alec Boehm. That really kind of did him in. And, you know, early on when you only have 4 or 5 starts, one can really kill your ratios. So I wouldn't worry too much. I think Garrett Crochet could be a buy low, and it seems like you might as well.
Yeah, I definitely think he's a buy low. And in fact, I did try to buy him low today. I don't know if you would consider it buying low, but I offered Carlos Rodon for him today. The other manager rejected it, but not for the reason that I would have thought he would reject it, because he said his reason for rejecting it was he said that Rodon is always three starts away from his next injury. And, you know, I honestly, like, that's not the reason. I mean, we'll talk about the Yankees later, but, yeah. You know, it's not, to me, it's not about the number of innings he's going to pitch, because Crochet is probably not going to throw more than 100, 120 innings this season either. It's just more the quality of the innings. And, you know, Crochet's 11.92 K per nine rate is the third best among all qualified starters in baseball so far this season. His 2.10 walk rate's also really strong. And that's why I think you see those expected stats looking a whole lot better than his actual ERA. So, yeah, it's been two bad starts in a row. And I think that does represent a great opportunity to buy low on a guy in a lot of leagues, especially considering he plays for one of the worst teams in baseball. I think there's probably a lot of people that are not going to be that excited to roster Garrett Crochet, but the way he's pitching, like, he absolutely could be a top 30 type of starting pitcher in fantasy.
Yeah, and I, you know, you mentioned like the innings cap and limit and stuff, and he hasn't thrown hardly any innings, you know, in his career, and that includes lower levels and such, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. Or, you know, we've talked before about how we don't know what ball clubs are going to do, what managers are going to do. I mean, definitely just ride it while you've got it. And if that happens, sure. But, like, you know, if you were looking to trade for Garrett Crochet or trade away, like, I wouldn't trade him away thinking, well, he's only going to throw 100 innings. Because we don't really know. Like, he could throw 150 innings. It's not likely based on his limited track record. But what if the White Sox just have him throw 140 or 50? Like, they certainly could.
It could. But even if they don't, I mean, like, once they shut him down, you know, and they're a team that's not going to be in the playoff hunt. So, like, they're not going to do, like, what you see teams like the Dodgers do, where they, like, you know, demote a guy in the middle of the season, or, like, reduce their workload so they're throwing, like, three or four innings a game. Like, they're not going to do that, you know, to try to, like, save him for the stretch run. There's no point. Like, they'll pitch him as much as they can pitch him, and then they'll, if they shut him down, that's an easy decision. Then you drop him and you have a roster spot to go for the next pitching pickup, you know? So I agree. You don't, I don't over worry about those kind of things. Like, he should be really good for the next few months. And that's all you can really ask for from a fantasy starter.
All right, let's do Cleveland. Tristan McKenzie. I've got him highlighted here. We both, you know, we're looking at him. Sounds like he's pitching through an elbow injury. His velocity's down. So that makes sense. You have a note that he has more walks than Ks. And is he droppable? I mean, I think he's absolutely droppable. I'll look up his roster rate here in a second. But, I don't see much reason for holding on with Tristan McKenzie, especially when the elbow thing came out. Like, he talked about Rodon three starts away from an injury. Like, Tristan McKenzie feels like he's just going to get shut down any day with that news that came out.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't – it's sad. Like, he just doesn't look like the same pitcher that he was earlier in his career. Always had, like, just a very lanky body with an awkward delivery. So that's kind of putting a lot of stress on your body, I would guess. You know, obviously Randy Johnson made it work, but
yeah.
But I don't know. It's just he's, you know, he only pitched 16 innings last season. And so he's just had these arm problems. And 5.5 K per nine right now and a 7.5 walk per nine. I mean, that's like really bad. I know it's only 18 innings, but yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a guy you need to roster, like, dreaming of him matching his 2022 season, because that feels a long way off right now.
Yeah, he's 59% rostered. He did have a good start against Oakland, so if you got that and you got those five innings in the win, then good for you. But, you know, are you going to start him against Boston on Thursday? I don't know. Probably, like, I probably wouldn't, based on what he's done other than that Oakland start.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But the Guardians, you know, offensively are an interesting team, because they've actually been scoring a lot more runs than I think people would have expected them to do based on taking a look at their lineup.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, they're really fueled by the top four guys in their lineup, and it's a very contact heavy approach that the Guardians have. Their top four guys, Stephen Kwan, Andrés Giménez, Jose Ramirez, and Josh Naylor, all have a strikeout rate of 12.6% or lower. So they're just putting the ball in play a whole lot. I know Ramirez has, you know, been off to a relatively slow start, but I'm not at all concerned about him. And Naylor is, you know, he's a big riser, I think, because he had a really good year last year, but it was a question of, like, was that for real, or is that, you know, going to kind of be a mirage? And I think he's answering a lot of those questions because he's hitting, making a ton of contact, but also hitting with a lot of authority, hitting the ball extremely hard. So he's looking like, you know, a definite top 10 first baseman at this point.
Yep. Last year he went to no longer platoon player. And you say top 10, it looks like he's right there in our top 10 now. He's in our top 100 overall. We've got him right there with a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, who also has been hitting the ball well lately.
Yep, exactly.
All right, Detroit. You know, I've got a couple notes here. The one that I was thinking about is just how well Tarik Skubal's been pitching. And, you know, I drafted Yamamoto first in our dynasty draft, and I was debating between him and Tarik Skubal, and I'm having a little regret now because Tarik Skubal's looking really good. He's like my number three or four pitcher. I think I had him seventh or eighth heading into the season. So with all the injuries and stuff, he just keeps creeping up, but nothing really actionable there. What do you think about some of the other pitchers there? I know you offered me Rodon. You're offering him around today. You offered him for Jack Flaherty. I kind of like to keep Flaherty. Is Casey Mize breaking out here? So what are your thoughts on some of these Detroit starting pitchers?
Yeah, well, with Flaherty, a lot of it for me was I was trying to add more strikeouts in that league. So, and Rodon just hasn't been canning guys like I was hoping. So Flaherty has. I mean, he's been missing a lot of bats. Really strong strikeout rate so far. Great walk rate as well. His ERA is up at 4.44 because he's been giving up a lot of home runs. But yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic with him. Flaherty is a guy I don't really trust to make it through the whole season healthy, but I think he can be a very solid pitcher for however long he can stay healthy. Mize, I'm not quite as bought into. I asked you that question, but I think for me, the answer, if I'm answering my own question, I think the answer is no. he was just facing the Twins, and the Twins are like, their offense is so bad right now. They're against right-handed pitching, their OPS is like in line with the A's and the White Sox. I mean, it's very bottom of all of baseball. They're not much better against lefties for that matter. But I think Mize is, he's not really missing a lot of bats. I mean, his K rate is only 6.75 K per nine so far. So the ERA looks nice, but I mean, expected ERA is 4.01. I think it could go even higher than that. He does have the pitching, nice pitching friendly ballpark, but I need to see a lot more before I feel like he's finally going to live up to that hype that he had 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. Kenta Maeda, I was about ready to just bury him. You know, he just kept moving down my rankings. And then tonight, he actually went 5 strong innings at Tampa Bay, no earned runs, no walks. You know, gave up 3 hits, had 5 Ks. So he had, you know, 5 solid innings. He's down to 24% rostered. So I don't know. Maybe Maeda is like a watch list guy you can kind of keep your eye on. I doubt many people started him here. It was a no decision, so you weren't getting a win there. But just, you know, a little bit signs of improvement for Maeda, who we liked before the season started, but he's just been tanking.
Yeah, I think Reese Olson also just had a good start, right? So.
Yeah.
So it seems like, I mean, all of the Tigers pitchers, I guess it was 2 starts ago that Reese Olson was really good. And then last start was fine. But I mean, 3 of his last 4 have been pretty good. So he seems to be back on track after getting bombed by the Pirates on April 8th. So yeah, I think Flaherty to me is the one that's I prefer the most after Skubal. But I think Maeda and Olson and Mize are all like have potential. I think I would rank them Skubal, Flaherty, Olson, Maeda, Mize.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Houston where we find the last place Astros, last place in the AL West, which is kind of crazy. You know, they have 7 wins. Of course, they're playing right now, but they can't catch Oakland for second to last place tonight. It's kind of crazy that Oakland has more wins and it's almost the end of April here. Christian Javier's to the IL. It sounds like a neck issue. I have a note here that maybe it's not short term. That's kind of what I've seen. I haven't seen an update today, but it sounds like this might not be like a 15-day thing. Luckily, they're getting Framber Valdez back soon. Justin Verlander made you know, his debut last, or well, I guess over the weekend, that was solid. So at least they're getting some reinforcements. But Javier is the kind of guy who, I guess you stash him on the IL while we kind of await more news.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros have been awful. I mean, they're the surprise dud of Major League Baseball so far this season. I don't think anyone really saw it coming that they would be this bad. And it's been kind of across the board struggles. But, I mean, they do have a lot of guys who have been there before. I mean, you know, certain guys have been as advertised, you know, Jose Altuve, Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez. Like, those guys have been as advertised. But the pitching has been very, very hit and miss. And a lot of the hitters, too. I mean, you know, Alex Bregman, it's just so meh at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's hitting .213, no home runs, one steal, three runs, five RBIs, you know, entering tonight anyway. But, and the expected stats are really not much better than that. You know, he's going to be better than that, but how good exactly do we really think he can be? Because, I mean, last year he hit 25 home runs, and that was the most that he's had since 2019. So, you know, I feel like that's like, at this point, if he's got zero so far, him getting to 25 this year seems like a pretty slim bet. Like, maybe he can get to 20 if he heats up. But really, his value was in runs and RBIs. And when the team is struggling like this, it just makes him really not a playable option as far as I'm concerned. And then the other one I wanted to talk about was Chaz McCormick, who was I picked him up last season and rode him, and he helped me win a fantasy championship. So, like, he's a player that I like, but he kind of came out of nowhere a bit, and he has not hit a home run yet this season either. Only has two steals after stealing 19 last year in only 115 games. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's a guy that, like, doesn't have that long track record. So, and he's striking out 28.2% of the time so far as well. So, like, if he was dropped in a league, and he was in ours, I'm not rushing out to add him at this point. You know, I mean, his expected stats are really bad. He just doesn't look like a dynamic player right now. And I feel like if he starts to turn it around, then you can add him again. But he's not like a must roster player for me at this point. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree that I don't think McCormick is a must roster player, and that stinks because I kind of liked him coming into the season based on how he, you know, was last year. Thought maybe he could even take a step forward. As far as Bregman, I do think if someone dropped him, I probably would actually rush to the waiver wire and put in a claim for a guy like Bregman. As bad as he is with the counting stats, and I agree with you that he is kind of meh. But then again, I'm looking at last year. He batted .219 in March and April, so he was a slow starter last year. And then you look at the rest of the way, you know, he batted .270, .260, .260. He actually batted over .300 in August. And all of his numbers across the board were, like, really solid. But he's not going to be, like you said, maybe he gets to 25 home runs. But, like, if someone dropped Alex Bregman, I think I actually would pick him up thinking that, like, yeah, he'll turn it around because, like, he has done that and he has a good track record of doing it.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I do think, like, I'm trying to see where do we have Bregman currently in our third base rankings. I mean, like, it's hard to move him down too far, you know. So,
well, especially with the injuries that we've had at third base.
Yeah. But, like, for example, like, if you were able to pick up a Jordan Westberg or a Michael Bush,
sure,
then you might not have a lot of use for Alex Bregman at this point.
Very true. I mean, we do have those guys ranked ahead of Bregman.
Or Justin Turner, you know, like, are we really confident Bregman's going to be better than Justin Turner?
No. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a good point. And I guess if you're like in a 10-team league, like, Bregman probably is hitting the waiver wire, but I probably would pick him up just to try to catch him on the rebound.
Again, this is also in a roto league. In a points league, I think he's significantly more valuable. So he's definitely a must hold there. But in roto, I don't know. 10 or 12 team roto, if I have another third baseman, I feel set there. I could at least consider it.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else for the Astros?
Well, the only thing I'll say about Christian Javier is, like, I kind of felt like he was going to be a pretty decent sell high candidate just based on what he had been doing up to this point. His underlying numbers weren't really matching his production that he'd given you so far. But now that he's hurt, you know, neck injuries are hard to predict. So I don't want to speculate on that. But until we know more about the injury, I feel like you kind of just have to hold them and wait and see.
Okay. All right. Kansas City. I was telling you about the bet that I placed on DraftKings before the season started, where they had a promo. You could bet on who will have the most wins by the end of April. I took a long shot with the Royals at 60-1. So I've been rooting for them. They have 13 wins, but you mentioned the Guardians, man. The Guardians are leading that AL Central. They have 17 wins, so that's been surprising. And of course, teams like, you know, the Braves and the Yankees and these other teams are the Orioles, who just got done lighting up Cole Reagans in Kansas City. So I don't think that bet has any legs anymore, but that's okay. It was fun while it lasted. But what do you think about Cole Reagans? Did you move him down at all after getting lit up there, or you just a blip on the radar?
Yeah, I didn't move him at all. I'm not going to worry based on one start. Even the best pitchers in the game have a bad start every once in a while, and it was against the Orioles too. So, like, yeah, right. That's about as tough a matchup as it gets right now. So, yeah, I'm not overthinking that one. But, you know, the Royals can't be your – you know, you didn't deserve to win that bet because the Royals aren't your AL Central team anyway. That's the Tigers. So
it is the Tigers. Yeah. You're right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I think Mikael Garcia is an interesting buy low option. He's already got 4 homers and 4 steals, but he's only hitting 178. And that's really bad luck, honestly. His BABIP is 179. But he hits the ball hard. Like, he's not one of these slap hitter leadoff guys. I mean, his expected average is 259, so that's a good 80 points higher than his actual batting average. His expected slug is over 100 points higher than his actual slug. So, like, and he's hitting leadoff on this team that has a pretty strong top of the order. So I think he's going to score a lot of runs. He's only got 10 so far this season, but I think he's going to pick up the pace with the runs scored. And he's got third base and shortstop eligibility. So he's a player I kind of like the idea of buying low on.
Yeah, he scored a run. Tonight. They're playing the Blue Jays, it looks like. He's got 4 runs in his last 4 games and like a home run last night. So, yeah, I think he is a good buy low, and you better jump quick because he looks like he's kind of starting to heat up again in this homestand against Toronto. I like him as a buy low because he's a guy that we like coming into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I almost considered offering Nolan Arenado for him. You know, because I could use some more speed and
right.
Yeah, I mean, Arenado, I like him more than Bregman, but it's a similar kind of profile, you know.
Yeah, we have Arenado sort of like around that 100th overall. But I'm looking, where do we have? Yeah, I guess we've got Garcia around 160. But when you look at Bregman's in that mix, some of those other guys like Justin Turner, there's kind of a big clump of guys after those top options where you could probably shuffle him around a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I feel safety with Arenado, like he's gonna be solid, whereas Garcia, there's a little bit more uncertainty, but I think the upside with Garcia at this stage of their careers is probably higher. And then, you know, I have to give my props to Sal Perez. He's just continued to be unbelievable. He, even with that groin injury, it kept him out one game and then like and even that game he was like pushing to play, so he's a gamer. His expected stats are even better than his actual stats too. So, man, I mean, he's just such, like, I have him in our league. He's such a weapon, a catcher, because he plays every single day and just gives you great numbers. So, I mean, he's not going to get to the 48 home runs he hit a few years back, but he looks like he could have his best year since then this year if he can keep this going.
He certainly could. It looks like you moved him into your top 100. I didn't quite do that. And it's really, for me, it's about the health. It's about him being 34 years old. I am, like, you're right. He had the groin issue. He bounced back pretty quickly. But I just do worry that there could be, you know, a month off somewhere in the season here. So that's the only reason I really haven't moved him up.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I mean, like, you know, at catcher, if he plays 140 games like he did last year, that's still way more than most catchers are going to play.
Absolutely. And like, he's after the top, you know, we've got Will Smith, William Contreras, Adley Rutschman, and then we've got Salvador Perez right there. And I have no problem, you know, talking about him ahead of guys like Real Muto and Yainer Diaz and the other Contreras and those guys. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I just honestly, I'm not sure any of the catchers, any of the top guys are obviously better than him. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, I think Brady Singer is a sell high if you can sell high on Brady Singer. You probably can't, but I just don't buy it with him. I never really have. I feel like he's just kind of a tease, and then he's gonna inflame your ratios.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. He's 82. He's up to 82% rostered. So, yeah, he's definitely living off, you know, those. He had a really good debut against the Twins. Went seven, had 10 strikeouts, and he's been pretty solid since then. But then his last outing against Toronto was not quite as good. So that sell high window could be closing.
Yeah, I mean, and if you do have him, like, and you can't trade him, it's fine to stream him in positive, in strong matchups, but I'd be careful using him in tough matchups because I think it could go south in a hurry.
Yep. All right. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Robert Stevenson. Bummer. Tommy John surgery. So we got to cover that. I think the only real takeaway is that Carlos Estevez has less competition now, because I think a lot of people were thinking Stevenson would come back and just overtake him. So I don't really know who could overtake him now. I mean, they've got guys like Matt Moore in the bullpen, and I just don't see anyone. And Estevez had the job last year. So I think if you have Estevez, you have to be happy that he no longer has Stevenson breathing down his neck.
Yeah, that's my big takeaway on that too. I mean, I generally have not trusted Carlos Estevez very much in the past, but and Stevenson was like, I mean, he was a lights out kind of reliever when he was healthy. So I think Stevenson did have significantly more upside, but you know, I will give Estevez credit. I mean, he's not striking anyone out this year, but he has not offered a single walk yet this season, after walks were a pretty big issue for him last season. So he's basically seems like he's sacrificing strikeouts for walks right now, and we'll see how that plays for him. I mean, it might actually work out okay.
Well, they have a Luis Garcia. How many Luis Garcias are in the majors? I'm just looking at their bullpen. That's not even the Luis Garcia pitcher that I'm thinking of. It's a different pitcher.
Yeah,
Luis
the Garcia. Astros one, yeah.
And then, of course, there's the second baseman for the Nats, who we can talk about next week, who's playing well.
Exactly, yeah. Makes your head spin. But, you know, we can't talk about the Angels without talking about Mike Trout. And,
yeah.
You know, I just want to point out, he already has five steals this year. He had six total from 2020 to 2023. So over those four seasons, he had six steals. He's already got five. So I moved him up quite a bit in my rankings, because coming into this season, I didn't really feel like Mike Trout had that much upside. Like, I could see a scenario where he would hit 40 home runs, but like it would be with like a 270 average and 100 RBIs maybe, because it's the Angels. Like, he's not going to have 120, 130 RBIs on that team. So, yeah. You know, I felt like that made him a pretty limited player. But if he's going to also steal 20 or 30 bases to go along with his 40 home runs, then suddenly he could be a top 10 player. You know, like, I mean, he obviously was a top 10 player. He was a top one player for years. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's no questioning his motivation too. Like, he always plays hard, even on a team that's not really going anywhere. So. So yeah, Trout's a player I've had to move up quite a bit in my rankings.
Me too. He's in our top 30 overall. And honestly, if I wasn't worried about the health with him, I'd have him higher. So this is a little bit similar to a guy like Sal Perez with Trout. I mean, I'm looking, last year he played 82 games. He did play 119 in 2022, where he had 40 home runs. But then in 2021, he only played 36 games. So everyone knows the recent track record of Trout and his health. So I think if he didn't have that track record and he was a little bit more of an Iron Man like he was earlier in his career, or if this was earlier in his career, I would have him in, you know, maybe fifth, sixth overall, with now that he's stealing bases. But I can't do that with the injury history.
Yeah, I do also think the team context does hurt him, because it's just the counting stats are just not going to be there quite as much.
I see you have Reed Detmers on here too. We probably should mention him. He looked good even in the loss to the Orioles. I think it was last night. He's been pitching really well. I think I've moved him into my top 100 overall. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball right now in fantasy. I don't think he'll keep that up, but I do think he's for real. I mean, this is a guy who's thrown a no-hitter, even though it wasn't a stellar no-hitter. Good prospect pedigree, could finally kind of be putting things together. And maybe put a nice season together, even though, again, team context, maybe it'll be like a 10-win season. But he could have a really nice season.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around how much I believe in Reed Detmers. I have in here he's legit. So I definitely like him. He's around my top 100 overall, maybe a little outside of it. But, you know, the weird thing is, like, so his strikeout rate and his walk rate are both very similar to last season so far this year. but his ERA is 2.12. Last year it was 4.48. And the underlying numbers do support his ERA being a lot better than last year. But really all of that is about the quality of contact that he's surrendering. You know, he's giving up a lot less hard contact so far this season, a lot fewer barrels, and, you know, a lot lower exit velocity off of him. So, the question is, have we seen enough to say that that's sticky, or is that just kind of like white noise, you know? And I guess, yeah. I guess that's the question that I have, because I absolutely think he can at least be what he was last season, which was solid. I mean, like, the ERA was high, but the strikeout rate was good. I mean, the whip wasn't so hot. So, like, you would hope for better than that if you want him to be, like, a top three or four starting pitcher for your fantasy team. But like, I feel like that's kind of the – last year's kind of the floor, and then the question is, does he have this breakthrough where he can manage to – maybe he's locating better in the zone. I'd have to look deeper into it. Like, how is he – generating the soft contact, is that something that's actually sticky or not? Like, I don't feel ready to say it is quite yet.
I do think I would have a hard time saying no if someone offered me like a Framber Valdez. I'm just looking at where we have him ranked on the site, right? A Framber Valdez, even a Max Scherzer who's coming back from injury. These are guys who are with better teams, with better win potential, have a much better track record. Like, I'd love to get one more start out of Reed Detmers, but like, I'd take a good hard look at that if like Framber comes back here in a week, or if Max is coming back in 2 weeks. What would you think if someone offered you that and you had Reed Detmers?
Yeah, well, I already have Max Scherzer ranked well ahead of Detmers. Framber Valdez, I actually have ranked ahead of him as well. So yeah, I would take those. I would take those deals. Like, if you can get a proven guy who's just good year after year for him, then you're taking the risk out of it. So why not do that?
Yep. Okay, cool. Did you want to mention Jose Soriano or any other Angels here?
I mean, Jose Soriano is intriguing to me. He's, you know, he does walk a lot of guys, and he's got a pretty good fastball, and he's been good so far, but it's like, it's just kind of, you know, we haven't seen, he doesn't have that long a track record, obviously. So he's like, to me, he's a streamer right now. I don't think you could really say he's more than that, but he does have a track record of missing a lot of bats, both in the minor league and major league level. I mean, last year as a reliever, he had a huge strikeout rate for the Angels, but, you know, we usually do see those strikeout rates, come down quite a bit when they move to the starting rotation. So, we'll have to see on him, but I think he's very intriguing just based on the bat missing ability and the fact that he's off to a nice start.
Yeah. Anyone who can like hit triple digits is intriguing to me.
Yep, that makes sense. all right, so the Twins. You know, I mentioned how bad their lineup has been. I mean, it's in A's and White Sox territory right now. So they're a team that I absolutely would target when you're streaming pitchers right now. And on the flip side of that, like, is there any bat in this lineup that's really usable for fantasy right now?
Gosh, probably not. Like we talked about Royce Lewis, he's probably another month away or so. And you know, Carlos Correa hit the IL. It's rough. I don't think so. Not right now. They're losing to the White Sox right now, and I'm trying to look at their lineup and see if I would want any of these people. I mean, Alex Kirilloff has probably been the best person. He struck out four times tonight. Good grief. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, Max Kepler has come back. He had a nice season last year, but like, you don't need to roster a guy like Max Kepler. Max Kepler could, you know, get hot, right? Maybe if they play a series in Coors or Cincinnati, you might want to pick up a guy like Max Kepler. You could maybe stream him.
Yeah, I mean, the guy to me that's the most interesting is still Willy Castro. And it looked like he was really struggling for a while there, and it seemed like he was maybe going to lose some playing time when Jose Miranda rejoined the team. But those guys are both playing right now. So, you know, maybe when Correa comes back, then that's a different situation. But Willy Castro was very good last season, and especially in roto leagues. I mean, he stole over 30 bases in a little more than half a season. So, and he has position eligibility all over the place. So if I had to roster any one hitter on the Twins right now, it would actually be him.
Okay. As far as the pitchers, I just mentioned Bailey Ober. He had a really rough start, like his opening start, but he's been really good since then. I know we're still dealing with pretty small sample sizes with pitchers, but Ober was a guy I liked coming into the season, and, you know, one bad start, people were probably dropping him. So just a good reason to just not overreact off of one or even two bad starts. Hopefully you held a guy like Ober, because I feel like better days are ahead.
Yeah, don't overreact and don't overreact.
There you go. Don't uber react. By the way, Mike Trout just hit his 9th home run against Baltimore.
Oh, there you go.
There you Josh. Go.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm quite as into him as you are, but I do. I mean, he has a great walk rate. Like he just never walks many guys. He lives around the strike zone. So I do think he's going to give up his fair share of home runs. And that's why he just seems like one of those pitchers that the Twins seem to always produce these guys. Like he's going to have a better whip than ERA because of that. But yeah, I mean, he could probably strike out around a batter per inning, or maybe a little below that, around there, but with a good whip. So he's definitely solid. I wouldn't be worried about one or two bad starts, because when you live around the strike zone, you will have a few of those from time to time.
And he's 87% rostered, so people have him. People have picked him back up and all that. If people dropped him, and his next start is at home against the White Sox in a couple of days. So
yep.
And after his good start, you're definitely starting him there.
Yep. And then in other Twins rotation is Louis Varland, who I believe you were kind of intrigued with him coming into the season, but he definitely didn't look ready for prime time. He's been demoted. Another young arm, Simeon Woods Richardson, is getting promoted. Right. Do you have any interest in him?
Well, I mean, not a big strikeout guy. He's already had one start and then went back down, and he's going to have another one coming up, I think, maybe tomorrow. So, or next, I don't know. I think it's tomorrow. So, yeah, I mean, he's someone who, you know, you could add him. I wouldn't start him, but you could see how it goes. But no, I don't think maybe he's kind of like a Bailey Ober, where he's not going to have a ton of strikeouts, maybe even less than Ober, since he's a rookie. But he is, you know, I guess he's intriguing if he can get that fifth roster spot in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he kind of reminds me a little of Casey Mize, because he, like, once upon a time had a lot more prospect type, and it sort of faded over the years. But yeah, I mean, he had some pretty ugly numbers in the minors at various stops recently. So, like, his prospect type is definitely faded, but that first start with the Twins was solid, and I don't think he's – I wouldn't bother picking him up now, certainly not if you're not going to stream him. And I wouldn't be looking to stream him unless you're playing in a league where you're streaming a lot of guys. So for me, he's just more of a watch list option right now.
All right, let's go to the Yankees. You said we'd talk about the starting pitchers, Carlos Rodon and others. The note that I have is that the starting pitchers are all dealing with walk issues. Nestor Cortez is the only one who really hasn't been, but if you look at their rotation, all these guys are dealing with walks. But I mean, I guess my question to you is, like, who do you think is going to be best rest of season? And we don't have to, like, dig into our rankings right now, but just, like, if you were, like, if there was a betting line on it, you know, I like the betting lines. I think, like, all these guys would be, like, 2-1 or 3-1 odds to be the best fantasy pitcher for the Yankees rest of the season. You know, I don't think it's clear cut at all. Like, who do you think has the best chance to finish as the best in this rotation?
To me, it's pretty close between Carlos Rodon and Nestor Cortez, but I think if I had to choose right now, I would lean Nestor Cortez. You know, I've always liked Nasty Nestor. So, I mean, I've always liked Rodon too. To me, the problem is Rodon doesn't look like the Carlos Rodon of the past right now. It's not really about walks for me. It's just about the fact that, like, he's not getting good results on his slider, and he's not missing bats. You know, like, he was such a elite strikeout guy for so long, and he doesn't seem like that guy right now. So, I do think there's a skill to run prevention, and I do think Carlos Rodon is exhibiting that. I mean, he is. Like, he's got a good ERA, and he probably will continue to have a sub-4 ERA. I just don't think he's going to be the dominant guy that he was before, and that's kind of why I've been shopping him, just because he's coming off a good start against the A's. His ERA is under 3. Maybe people feel like, oh, he's healthy, he's Carlos Rodon. Like, he is healthy, but he doesn't look quite like the same guy right now. Whereas Cortez, you know, his expected ERA is 2.75 right now. His walk rate is minuscule. He's just pitching well. I feel like he's a solid guy. I mean, like Schmidt and Luis Gil intrigue me because of their strikeout ability, but like you said, the walks are a real issue with those guys. So I don't fully trust them. And then we know Stroman is just like a high floor, low ceiling guy who is more geared towards points leagues.
Yeah, I think if I were betting on it, I would bet on two guys. I'd probably bet on Nestor, like you said, but I would also bet on Luis Gil because there is that chance that he could get the walks under control. Because, yeah, the 13 K per nine, I mean, he's had six or more strikeouts in all four of his starts. But, yeah, the walks are tough. But, yeah, you never know. It's kind of like Edward Cabrera, right? It's like the strikeout stuff is there, but you just can't deal with the walks. I mean, he had seven walks against Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, his walk rate is like not manageable right now. I mean, it's
no,
and it, and honestly, like, it hasn't been in the minors either. I mean, if you go back and look, like, you know, in he barely pitched at all last season, but in 2022, 21 innings in AAA, he had a 6.23 walks per nine. 2021 in with the Yankees, 29 innings with a 5.83 walks per nine, and AAA, a 5.92 walks per nine. So, like, yeah, he's got a – I mean, there's walk problems, and then there's walk problems. Like, he has a really big walk problem, like, to the extent that it might make him completely unusable, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they could end up just giving someone else a chance in the rotation if it turns into, you know, having a couple of terrible starts.
Yep, exactly. So I feel like it's just kind of playing with fire with him a little bit.
Yeah. Anyone else you want to talk about here? Any of the batters?
No. I mean, Volpe slowed down a little bit, but it's a long season. So, you know, I think he might have got overhyped a little bit, and now he's, you know, correcting for that a bit. But he's still having a big breakthrough season overall, I'd say.
Yeah, I think the one thing to pay attention there is, you know, DJ LeMahieu starting a rehab. Does he come back and bat leadoff? Because Volpe batting leadoff is great. I'd hate to see him. Because, I mean, I think Soto's going to continue to bat second, right? You got Judge. I wonder if they drop Volpe to, like, seventh or eighth, you know, toward the bottom of the lineup since he's got the speed. Just kind of get, you know, have that second leadoff guy sort of at the bottom of the lineup. So that's one thing that could really hurt his value.
Yeah, I also think that it's, like, it's fair to question how much power he's going to have this season. You know, I think see a lot of bases, but he might not get to 20 home runs.
All right. Anyone should we talk about in Oakland? Sure. we talked about Estuary Ruiz last week, and you know, you were talking about how you'd kind of turned it around, and you picked him up and all this, and I think he's started two games since then. And so I'm guessing you've probably maybe tried to get him in your lineup in those two games, but man, if they're not going to play him every day, what the heck, Oakland?
Well, it is ridiculous that they're not playing him every day. I mean, it's completely ridiculous how they're handling this. I mean, he's the best hitter on their team and probably by a fair amount. And he's starting to show some upside. I mean, he's showing some serious power, which last year he did not have at all. But he's hit a number of 420 plus home runs already this season between the minors and the majors. And they're still sitting him against righties. They're playing him against lefties, but then they did start him against a righty today. So yeah. I wonder if that's a sign that they're finally going to move to some semblance of rational thinking about this. I mean, the other thing that's ridiculous, so in yesterday's game, I've been following this closely since he's on my team, but in yesterday's game, he started, he hit leadoff. He was hit by a pitch his first at bat, and he walked in his second and third at bat. So he had, and they had not had any runs at this point in the game. They had two hits. And he had been on base as much as the rest of their team combined, and then they pinch hit for him in his fourth time up because a righty was pitching. So it's like it doesn't make any sense what they're doing. But I still really like him in a daily lineup league like ours because I don't necessarily. I mean, I do think he could hit for more power now, so that makes me like him more. But I also don't mind, you know, mixing him with a more traditional, you know, power hitter, like say Nolan Arenado or someone like that, or Christopher Morel, you know, and just kind of split it between the two of them. So like, if he's going to sit some days, that's fine with me. It doesn't bother me that much in those formats. Cause like whenever he starts, he's a threat to steal two or three bases. So, So yeah, I still think he's a player that should absolutely still be rostered in daily lineup leagues, and then probably in any roto league, I think he should still be rostered, because I just think that it's impossible for the A's to do this all season with him. Like, he is going to work his way into the lineup more and more often. And I think it's telling that when he plays, he does hit leadoff. That kind of tells you they at least acknowledge he is probably their best hitter.
Yeah. And I think he is someone you probably could trade for, depending on, you know, he's 64% rostered, down 2% today. So people are dropping him. People are getting frustrated with what Oakland's doing. So maybe you could trade for him, have him sit on your bench for another week or something. Cause yeah, I think he really could turn it around. It's just, yeah, it's gotta be frustrating. I will say Mason Miller, I think we haven't really talked about Mason Miller much, but I see he's now our number 12 closer in our combined rankings. So he's been moving up the rankings kind of quietly. Yeah, I think he's like pretty much the only Oakland A I really want on my roster. No offense to Estuary Ruiz, but like, I'd love to have Mason Miller regardless if he's picking up saves, because he's just lights out, you know, throwing 102, 103. And, you know, even if he just throws two innings of just shutout ball, that's fine, even if he doesn't pick up a save.
Yeah, and by the way, he does already have five saves this season too. So,
yep.
Like, you know, we talk about it time and again. Like, bad teams get saves too. So, yeah. I mean, I think he might end up even higher than 12th at closer for me pretty soon. Yeah, it's not a lot else there. I mean, I do think Estuary Ruiz and Mason Miller are basically it with the A's. We did talk off air about Zach Gelof and whether he's still a guy you need to roster. I think he's pretty fringy at this point. And Paul Blackburn has had this like great streak of scoreless innings. But he's just not a player I really trust. Like he doesn't miss enough bats. Like, I feel like he's always playing with fire and it's eventually going to get burned.
Yeah, man. His strikeout rate, you know, it's never been over a K per nine. So, and with Oakland, I mean, if he was in Baltimore or something and had the run, you know, had a good stadium and run support, you know, and he was back in Baltimore. Yeah. I'd maybe be interested in Blackburn there.
Yeah. He does have the stadium, but definitely not the offense supporting him.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Seattle, Cal Raleigh, hitting bombs at Coors. I said that's an elixir for struggling bats. He actually hit a home run tonight too. So I don't know, when we're talking about catchers, he's not really someone you can pick up. He's like 85% rostered. And you know what you're getting with a guy like Cal Raleigh. You're getting 200, you know, someone batting 210, 215 and hitting home runs, but he's hitting home runs right now. I was surprised though at Coors that Luis Castillo bounced back in a big way. You know, Dylan Cease had a good start there. Luis Castillo, the fact that pitchers are doing well at Coors just tells you how bad this Rockies lineup is.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it also tells you how good Luis Castillo is. I mean, I was never worried about him. It was and dominant aces when they're on their game, like, it doesn't matter what ballpark they're in. They can miss enough bats that they're going to still put up great numbers. You know, Cal Raleigh, you know, I'm not a huge fan of his. He is a solid like back end catcher in a 12 team league just because of the home runs, but right now he's hitting 258. Like, that's gonna come down, so like
it will.
he's probably a little bit overvalued right now, especially coming off a few hot games in a row.
He's gonna have this streak where he's gonna be batting 0-3, 0-4 for an entire week, and he's gonna be in your lineup and you're gonna be like, what do I do? You're gonna pick someone else up. Mm-hmm. Who else? Well, are any concern with Andrés Muñoz? You know, we talked about Stanek, you know, picking up some saves. I mean, Muñoz, you're not dropping him. I mean, you're going to keep him. You're just concerned about him not getting like 30 saves. Maybe he'll get 20 saves and still be really good, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really concerned about it. I just was like, I'm picking up Ryan Stanek and to make sure I get all the saves, you know, because they are using Muñoz as the highest leverage reliever, so sometimes that will involve him pitching in the seventh or eighth innings. I mean, they're not afraid to use him for multiple innings too, so that's just kind of the reality of the situation there. But Stanek is like, you know, he's fine. He's kind of like a Griffin Jacks type. Like, he's not going to blow you away, but he actually does throw pretty hard and has that kind of closer mentality with the long flowing blonde hair like Josh Hader or something. But I think he'll pick up probably 10 saves and Muñoz will get the rest over the course of the season. So yeah, if you have the roster space, it makes sense to roster them both if you're in a league where it's hard to find closers and you need saves.
All right. I see you've got a note here on sell high on Bryce Miller, question mark. I'm looking at his numbers, super low BABIP against, a lot of left on base, keeping, he's gotten out of some jams, right? And the velocity's fine. The ERA is 1.85, but the expected ERA is 3.36. So everything tells you that, if he got a little bit unlucky in certain situations, maybe he would have given up a few more runs by now. It's just four starts. He's not a huge strikeout guy. So what are you thinking? Would you kind of sell high if you could on Bryce Miller? And what do you think you could get for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you could get like a top 30 type of a starting pitcher, I would do it. I would trade him for Garrett Crochet, I think. A pitcher like in that range. I trade him for Max Fried, who I believe had a good start tonight but was really struggling before that. Joe Musgrove, like guys like that, I would be willing to do it. Because I just don't really think Bryce Miller is a special pitcher. I think he's okay. I think he'll be the floor is not going to completely fall out on him, but I think he's more like an SP4 or 5 in fantasy than an SP2 or 3. So if somebody's valuing him like that, I think it's a good opportunity to sell.
Yeah, I've got him a bit higher than you, but yeah, looking at these pitchers sort of in our 120 to 150 overall, it depends on the offer. There's some guys I would, some guys I wouldn't, and there's a lot of injured pitchers right now too. Like we were talking about guys like Max Scherzer. There's also Walker Buehler. We'll get into these guys next week in the NL list, but I might want to take a stab on one of these guys who hopefully is coming back soon. Someone a little bit more proven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just trying to think of other names. Like Aaron Civale is another guy I probably would take over him. Let's see. I'm looking at guys we have lower on our list. I mean, like Verlander, I would take over him. Michael King, Ryan Pepio, I take over him. So there's a lot of options.
Yeah, Pepio had a nice start tonight. Didn't get the decision, but man, he's looked really good.
He didn't get the decision? That's a bummer.
No.
I saw they were winning 2-1. I was hoping that he would.
Yeah, I think he went 6, and then they got 2 runs, so he could, he almost, anyway, didn't work out.
Womp womp.
All right, let's go to the Rays.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete Fairbanks. Not great. I don't know.
Generally if sucky.
Generally sucky. I know, man. Him in the post game, that was funny. Well, it's not just that. Now it seems like there may be a nerve issue. He's someone who's dealt with that Raynaud syndrome before. So I'm definitely worried as someone who drafted Pete Fairbanks in our league. I'm glad I drafted Jason Adam as well. I also picked up Jason Adam in another league where people were asleep at the wheel. So I'm glad I got him. But I don't, it's the Rays, so even if Fairbanks is out for a month, it won't just be Jason Adams. I think, I even think that Clevinger could be in the mix a little bit. Like, I might pick him up. He's looked good at times, so what are your thoughts on the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to predict. I mean, this is a team that has traditionally used multiple closers. Colin Poche and Clevinger both already have a save so far this season, so... yeah, I mean, Jason Adam is definitely the preferred ad, and I was into it, rostering him anyway, even before Fairbanks got hurt, just because he can give you really good ratios too. So that's a little format dependent, but if you play in an innings capped league or you play in a league with holds, he was already a must roster player in those formats, I feel like. So yeah, I mean, this obviously boosts his value. I think he should be the best bet for saves, but predicting him to get more than 60 or 70% of the saves is a dicey proposition with this team, I think.
Yeah, I see you've got Ahmed Rosario on here as well. He's been really good. He has second short and outfield eligibility, a couple homers, 3 stolen bases, batting .359 on the year. I was telling you how I've been shopping Shane Baz, speaking of Rays, even though he's coming back, because I've got so many injuries in our league. That I've got guys overflowing my IL spot. So I offered Shane Baz for Ahmed Rosario just because I need a bat, and a utility guy. And he was picked up in our league like a week ago or so. And he's picked up in a lot of leagues now. So he's 68% rostered, up 20% in the last day. So He might not be available, but if he still is, like, he's hot. And if he's going to start stealing some bases too, like, that's just icing on the cake, I think, with Rosario, because that average is looking awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a guy that hit over 280 in 2021 and in 2022 and in 2019 for that matter. So, like,
yeah, he can do it.
I mean, his skill set isn't that different from like a Ketel Marte, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
poor man's Ketel Marte, maybe, but you know, not going to hit for a ton of power, more of a 15 stolen base guy than a 25 stolen base guy. But like, yeah, he's going to just kind of chip in across the board and give you some sneaky value. So I feel like he could be a rest of season player that you would want to have. But at the very least, like when he's running hot, I mean, he's hitting in the middle of the lineup too. So, yeah, I think he's definitely a smart ad right now.
Yeah, and he was like 10 days ago, he was platooning, and now he's not. He's playing every day.
Yep, yep. And that's the Rays for you, man. They do mess around a lot, but he's convinced them that he deserves everyday playing time.
Yep. Anyone else for the Rays?
No, I'm good.
Okay. We've got a couple more. We got the Texas Rangers. We've already mentioned Max Scherzer's name about 35 times on this show, but anything else you want to talk about with Max?
So I guess he's making his first rehab start tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, the timetables just continue to move up with him. So, yeah, now it's looking like he's going to be back in early May potentially, which is huge. So he's inside my top 100 overall players at this point, just based on his track record of excellence. You mentioned you moved Adolis Garcia up a lot. He hasn't been up for me because he was already really high up. You know, we're about to talk about the Blue Jays too. That's the last team we haven't talked about. And I do want to kind of like juxtapose Adolis Garcia with Vladimir Guerrero, because like I feel like people are always overhyping Vladimir Guerrero and they're underhyping Adolis Garcia, and like the bottom line is that Adolis Garcia is usually better than Vladimir Guerrero in fantasy, you know. So it's like, how many years in a row is Vlad going to be ranked higher coming in draft rankings for people heading into the season, and then a month in you switch it and realize Adolis Garcia is actually better, you know? I feel like this is something we should just remember going forward.
Yeah, and I moved Adolis Garcia up to 15th overall. So I moved him way up. I was just sort of redoing my rankings. I'm looking at my outfielders, and I was like, okay, if I was drafting again today, you know, I moved Zach Wheeler up. You know, I've got Corbin Burns and Zach Wheeler rounding out my first round in a 12-team league. And then I've got Yordan, Aaron Judge, and Adolis Garcia. And honestly, like, I probably should have Mike Trout up there too. But again, with the injury, it's tough. So I have him a bit further down. But like, Garcia doesn't have that. Like you said, Garcia's been awesome. He just keeps hitting home runs. And yeah, he plays for the Rangers. Great lineup. So there's such great context with him. And yeah, I just feel like Yordan, Aaron Judge, I think Adolis Garcia like kind of fits into that category with guys who aren't really stealing bases but have some really good power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I haven't moved. I have Adolis at 21 overall, and I just haven't touched his ranking at all because I already knew he was awesome. He's basically just doing what I was expecting him to do. But, you know, I see you moved him ahead of guys like Jose Ramirez and Austin Riley and Bryce Harper. So, yeah, maybe I need to consider doing that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, like, right, with the third baseman, like, Devers has been hurt. You know, so I've been moving him down. I've kind of moved a tier of third baseman down. So yeah, he moved ahead of some of those guys just by the third baseman moving down.
Okay. But it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, at the top of the rankings, I just haven't moved a lot. I mean, all those guys, like it's only been a month and they all have such, strong cases to be high end fantasy assets. So,
yep. We've talked about Kirby Yates probably the last couple episodes. He looks to really, like, you have a note here, like he's really kind of locked it down. So, if you got a head on Kirby Yates like I did, you can pat yourself on the back. That's what I just did. So,
yeah, I waved the white flag on that one, even though I drafted Leclerc and David Robertson. So that really kind of sucked for me. But that's okay. I'll find other closers. I always do. So
there will be others.
There will, yes. But at this point, I don't think you need to roster any of the other Ranger relievers besides Yates. It looks like he's the guy for now, at least as long as he continues performing. And then starting pitchers for the Rangers, I mean, is there anyone there besides Nate Eovaldi that really needs to be rostered, in your opinion?
Well, and Max Scherzer, who we now have mentioned 36 times on the show.
Oh, yeah, but I mean in the current rotation, let's say.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, like, you know, Bradford was looking really good, so if you're able to stash him on the IL, like, I feel like the Rangers probably will get him back in the rotation once he's back, because, like, I don't really like Andrew Heaney. I've heard people kind of say, like, they could easily move him to the bullpen kind of thing and have, you know, move that lefty into the bullpen, but have Bradford. So he's one who I'd kind of watch list or try to stash on my IL if I could.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm going to once again say I'm not giving up on John Gray. He's actually off to a pretty nice start, 11.25 K per nine and a 3.15 ERA so far. His expected ERA is a lot higher, but his xFIP is in line with his current ERA. So choose your advanced metric, your personal favorite, and you can either be optimistic or pessimistic about John Gray.
All right, Blue Jays.
Yeah, so Dalton Varsho has been really hot lately. Do you think he's a must roster player in 10 and 12 team leagues, or is he more of just like a short-term play while he's running hot?
I'm starting to think, well, so I don't know. Some of this is preseason bias, and you know, we both listen to Sleeper in the Bust a lot of times, and I forget which one of the guys, one of them went on the Fantasy Pros podcast and was talking up Varsho as like this is someone who could be, you know, a 30 home run, 30 stolen base, you know, in a perfect situation, whatever. So I don't know, like, he is stealing bases too. He has 6 home runs, 2 stolen bases. I mean, a lot of those home runs have come in like the last 10 days, but that's fine. He's heating up. I kind of think that like, he's must roster, but it's like, yeah, maybe it's just must roster for now. I don't know that he's must roster for the entire rest of the season. So I know I'm kind of on the fence there, but I think he's must roster for now, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely read the hot hand. I mean, 2 steals, like, that's not a ton. I mean,
no.
You know, he had 16 last year and the year before. So I think it's hard for me to imagine him getting anywhere near 30 steals. And the power, like, he's hot right now at the power, but I'll believe it when I see it for 30 home runs too. So I'm still looking at what he's done the last couple seasons as the baseline, 20, 25 home runs, 15 steals kind of a thing with a not so hot batting average. So I'm not a big Varsho guy. Like, I'd rather have Taylor Ward, for example, than Varsho.
Okay. One person who still intrigues me is Yariel Rodriguez. Like, you know, we were talking about Garrett Crochet earlier, and the innings limit and stuff. And it sounds like Alek Manoah is working his way back for Toronto, and they're going to move Rodriguez to the bullpen. But again, it's for me, it's kind of like a believe it when you see it kind of thing. Because if Rodriguez gets a couple more starts, or if Alek Manoah comes up and looks terrible, like he has, you know, last couple seasons, really, I don't see why Rodriguez couldn't, you know, stick in the rotation or at least get back in it. So I don't know, man. I wouldn't be dropping Yariel Rodriguez. He intrigues me quite a bit with the strikeout potential and just sort of the unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the problem is his pitch counts are so low. He's not going deep into games at all. I mean, like, he barely pitches 4 innings, you know, per start so far this season. So, like, how can you really use him? It's like he has no win potential because he can't qualify for the win. So, I don't know. I like, he's a mystery box. So like, I understand why he's intriguing. I think intriguing is a good word to use, but for me, he's not really a must roster player.
No, I guess he's not must roster right now, but it's like, he's 27 years old. He is the mystery box. I wonder if they're just kind of easing him in. I just think he has such strikeout potential that, like, I'd hate for someone else to get him on their roster. If I had him, I think I would just kind of hold him if I could.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah, like, it depends on the roster size and stuff.
Yeah, if you have room to, like, you know, stash a guy for upside, then sure. But I feel like in most leagues, it's like if you're picking up a pitcher, it's to use him right away. And I don't really feel like there's better options for that right now on the waiver wire in most leagues.
What you have on here is Jose Berríos, a massive sell high, and I bolded that because, yes, I would say he is. I mean, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, and I don't believe it because, like, I didn't believe in him coming into the season. I just feel like he's, you know, he's been solid throughout his career, but I don't think he's this guy. I think he's pitching way over his head. So, yeah, I haven't moved him up a ton in my rest of season rankings. I've moved him up slightly, but not going crazy because, no, I don't believe it. How about you?
Yeah, definitely not. His ERA is 0.85. His expected ERA is 4.24. His left on base percentage so far this season, 99.4%. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, only one runner has scored.
I think Bryce Miller's was like 88% when I was looking, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's really high.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So 99.4%. Yep. His strikeout rate is the lowest. Currently, it's the lowest that it's been since his rookie season. His walk rate is currently the highest it's been since 2020. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really that says he's taking any sort of a step forward as a pitcher. Like, if anything, he could be taking a step back. He's just had great, good fortune in BABIP and strand rate. And, yeah, I mean, like, you know, again, he's one of these guys who the bottom's not going to completely fall out on them, but like he's going to be what he usually is. He's going to be a pitcher with an ERA around 4, a mediocre strikeout rate. He'll work into games and, you know, get some wins, but yeah, he's a back end fantasy starter. So if anyone's valuing him as something more than that, it's a good opportunity to sell.
Yeah, I think I would rather have – we talked about Jack Flaherty earlier, who I have in our league, who you were offering for. I'd rather have him with the strikeout upside. I'd also probably rather have, like, I'm just looking at other guys who are around him in our rankings. Mackenzie Gore, Kyle Harrison, some younger guys who have some strikeout potential. Even though Gore is with the Nats, I tend to think I'd rather have them if you're like a one-to-one type trade, if you could, but maybe try to sell higher if you can. Sure.
Well, I'd rather have Berrios's teammate, Yusei Kikuchi. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, he's got so much more strikeout upside.
He does.
So I would take that shot on him. Okay. And that's a deal. I'd be shocked if you couldn't get that done.
Yeah, I think you could.
Yep. And then Jordan Romano back at closer. Is there any reason to hold on to Yimi Garcia? I mean, he's been very solid, but at this point, he just seems more like a handcuff, right?
Yeah, like his ratios have been good. But no, I don't think he's anything. Like, I think there's other relievers who we'll probably talk about some of them in the NL, you know, next week. Some of these guys who are like high-end middle relievers, or, you know, relievers who have high strikeout upside, good ratios, and I don't think he really fits that category.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. You know, he could easily come into relevance again later in the season, but it's certainly not a player you need to roster for now.
Yep, agreed.
All right, that will wrap our review of the American League. We will cover the National League next week, so that should be fun. In the meantime, if you have any questions for us, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. I am at @Andrew_Seifter.
And I am at @BartonWheeler. We appreciate everyone listening to the podcast. If you like the show, please follow, share, rate, and review. We are out of here.
We gone.
You've been listening to the Rest of Season Rankings podcast. Go to www.rosrankings.com for more.